Krishna. So we are at the last shloka of chapter number 5, shloka number 29. And this particular shloka is called as the greatest peace formula. Why is it called so? So let's try to get deep into this shloka and try to understand. Shloka number 29, it goes like this.
Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram Surdam sarva bhutanam nyatva mam shanti mrachati.
So here it is said, nyatva mam. So a person who knows the Supreme Lord as what? First, bhoktaram yajna tapasam. The one who is beneficiary of yajna, that is sacrifices, and tapasa, austerities. Sarva loka maheshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord of what? Sarva loka, all the planets, and Maheshwaram of all the Devi Devtas, all the demigods. Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, he is the well-wisher, Surudam, of all the living entities, Sarva Bhutanam. Anyone who understands this in Tattva, in truth, such a person, Shanti Mrachati, will attain peace from the pangs of the material miseries. So this is the peace formula. One who understands Krishna's original position, such a person will attain that ultimate peace. So let's see this shloka in a much detailed way. The conditioned souls within the clutches of the illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world. I think we all can resonate with this point. Everyone wants peace. Everyone is searching for peace, peace of mind. Because the mind has become into pieces. So all that has to be joined and then we need some peace. Yes, it's a very, very important thing. People are searching for it. Everywhere people are searching for it. But least they know that the key is given here in the Bhagavad Gita, the last shloka of chapter 5. What is the greatest peace formula? The first one. The Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. All the activities we do, the beneficiary is Lord Sri Krishna. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. So he is the one. He is the one who owns everything in this world. No one can say that I am the proprietor of so and so thing. Why? Because we are temporary. That thing is temporary. This entire world is temporary. We will live after some time. So we actually don't own anything. We are just the caretakers. That's it. Those things are given for some time to us so that we can take care of them. So this point is very important to understand, that there is only one proprietor, and that is Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. If everything belongs to Krishna, then it's very logical that all that should be used in his service. So it is said that he is the bhokta, he is the beneficiary of all the activities that we do in our day-to-day life. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. So he is called as Asama Urdhva. There is no one equal to him and no one greater than him. So even when it comes to the greatest Devi Devta, that is Brahma and Lord Shiva, even they are not equal to him. They are always subordinate. So Krishna is that Maheshwara. He is that personality, the supreme controller of all the other controllers of this universal administration. So here in this, we have different things that we can understand here. Bhoktaram. There are two things given. Bhoktaram Yajna and Bhoktaram Tapasa. So when it comes to Bhoktaram Yajna, we are actually talking about whom? We are talking about Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. We are not talking about Devi Devtas here as Bhoktaram Yajna, the beneficiary of Yajna. We are talking about Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, the controller of all these controllers, that is Krishna. So this particular thing, we have to understand that the final enjoyer of all the sacrifices is Lord Shri Krishna. And who does all the sacrifices? The Karma Kandis and also the Karma Yogis, you know, who are there. So here Karma Yogis understand very clearly that who is their destination? Whom are they supposed to offer all the results to? Krishna, first point. Then after that, we understand here, Bhoktaram Tapasam. So now here it is talked about austerities. Who is actually the beneficiary of all the austerities that people do? For jnanis, this is very, very important. Because they are the ones who are involved in so many austerities. The renunciants, they are involved in so many austerities. So, who is the beneficiary of all these austerities? It's again Krishna. He is the one. So, jnanis are also satisfied. Okay, jnanis are also aiming at Krishna. And finally, here it is given. Surdam sarvabhutanam. So, surdam sarvabhutanam means Lord is there as Paramatma in each and everyone's heart. Who is aiming at Paramatma? The Ashtanga yogis are aiming at Paramatma. Yes. So, in this way we understand that Bhoktaram yajna, it's directing to the karma yogis. Bhoktaram tapasa, it is directing towards the jnana yogis. And the surdam sarvabhutanam, that is directing towards what? Ashtanga yogis. And in this way we see that all of them, the karma yogis, the jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, all of them, they are actually trying to satisfy Lord Shri Krishna. He is that greatest personality. He is the one who deserves to be satisfied. He is the one who is the real enjoyer and not we. Right. So it's a nice point, you know, to meditate on that how he's helping in so many ways. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all that they survey. But actually they are dominated by material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature and the conditioned souls are under stringent rules of material nature. So we are all actually stuck in this material world very, very badly. But still, when someone asks us, how are you? What do we say? I'm absolutely fine. But who is fine? No one can be fine in this world. Because we are stuck in this material world under the stringent laws of material nature. But then who is the Lord of material nature? Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Who is that? Krishna. He is the one who is dominating or who is controlling even the material nature. And Lord, he might be, you know, having so many different descriptions. He might be the controller of all the controllers. He is the controller of the material nature also, the Maya Shakti. He is the beneficiary of the Yajna, Tapasa, that is austerity. Even after all this, the wonderful thing is, Krishna is the well-wishing friend of everyone. In Sanskrit, we have multiple words for this friend. So we have something called as Mitra, then something called as Bandhu and Surat. Now Mitra is more of a social friendship. Bandhu is more of an official friendship. But Surat is actually the real friend. And Krishna is Surdam Sarvabhutanam. He's actually Surat of all the living entities. He's the real friend of all the living entities. How can we say so? That Krishna is a real friend of all the living entities? Because he is the only one who actually accompanies each and every living entity when they go to another body, leaving the current body. At the time of death, what happens? The person transmigrates from one body to another. There might be many, many people whom we might call as real friend. Oh, this person is a close friend of mine. This person is the best friend of mine. All that is okay. When we are dying, are they going to come with us? No. A real friend will come with us. But mortal beings cannot come with us. So only Krishna comes with us and he guides us lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. How much Krishna does for all of us? When we understand that, then we'll understand, yes, he's a real friend. First thing, he comes himself from Goloka Vrindavan to do all the pastimes. For what? To attract all of us. Second, he takes so many incarnations. There are infinite incarnations. It is said, like we cannot count the waves in the sea, similarly we cannot count the incarnation that Krishna is taking. Why? Why is it so important to understand this? Because Krishna is taking all these incarnations only and only and only to reclaim all of us, the conditioned souls, back home, back to Godhead. He's incarnating one after another. He's doing overtime just to make sure that we all go back home, back to Godhead. Apart from all this, he'll send his own associates. He'll send various great acharyas. And so in the line, we have so many of them. Madhvacharya, we have Ramanujacharya, Nimbarka Swami, and we have our dear Srila Prabhupada, who distributed the holy name all around the world. So in this way, Krishna sends his associates, go, go, go. Go and do what? Get all my part and parcels back to the abode. They all don't know they're suffering. Please go and get them back. Tell me, who will have so much of concern for all of us? Who will have? The real friend will have, and that real friend is Krishna, Suhrut. So this word Suhrut, you know, is very important to understand. He is not just Suhrut of human beings, he is Suhrut of each and every living entity. Even a worm in the stool has Paramatma in that particular body. Even the hog who is eating stool, he also has Paramatma in his body. So in this way we understand that right from the Brahma's body till the very, very small insignificant creature's body, Paramatma is there guiding each and every living entity. How amazing this is, isn't it? So this way he is Surudam Sarva Bhutanam. Now some wonderful points are given, you know, for intensifying our devotional service. It is said, to work in Krishna consciousness is to work with the complete knowledge of the Lord as the predominator, and also to have the full knowledge of one's relationship with Supreme Lord. So we need to understand that how great the Lord is and how wonderful and sweet our relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such work is not different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga is a path leading to Bhakti Yoga. So this is a nice point, you know, to understand that the work that we do as a loving devotional service to Krishna is actually very, very great. Very, very great. So that is surely on a very great transcendental platform. A pure soul is the eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel. So here it's basically given about how come, you know, we came to this world and we are suffering. So we all are pure, you know, because we are spirit soul. But then, when we come in contact with Maya, illusion, that is the illusory potency of the Lord, what happens? Due to the desire to lord it over Maya, and that is the cause of his many sufferings. So we all are suffering because of this. We have this desire, we want to lord it over this material nature. As long as he is in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessities. So what are we doing? We're trying to take care of this material body. We're trying to do various material activities. Why? Because we have this tendency to lord it over the material nature. And then finally it is given that Krishna consciousness, however, brings one into spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. For it is an arousing of spiritual existence by practice in the material world. So this is a very, very nice point to understand. See, we are stuck in this material world. But by practicing bhakti, Krishna consciousness, what happens is we can elevate ourselves. And with time we'll actually understand that how nicely we are elevating in our consciousness. There will be a point when the person is really elevated to such an extent that he is not at all affected by any of the things happening in this material world. So in this way, even when we are there in this material world, we have come here to enjoy, lord it over material nature, but then we have a way to rectify ourselves by practicing Krishna consciousness. So we can practice Krishna consciousness, purify our consciousness, and just by purifying our consciousness, we elevate our consciousness up to a higher level, and then all the happenings of this material world will not touch us in any ways. We'll remain stable. We'll remain stable, we'll remain blissful within. Finally, the last line says, the more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial towards anyone. So more we advance, what will happen? The more we get freed from all these problems of this world. And anyone who sincerely desires, anyone who is sincerely practicing devotional service, sincere and serious in the endeavor, such a person will surely be helped by the Supreme Lord, because he is more eager. He is more eager to take us back home back to Godhead than we are eager to go back home back to Godhead. So just by having that desire that I want to go back home back to Godhead, I want to serve Krishna, if we have this, you know, whole and soul desire, what will happen? Krishna will help us in all the possible ways. He will give us guidance within us, Paramatma. He will give us guidance outside as a spiritual master. He will make all the arrangements for us to take us back home, back to Godhead. What are we supposed to do? The only one thing. Just desire to attain Krishna this very lifetime. We should have that desire, intense desire in our heart. Come what may, I want to break the cycle of birth and death in this very lifetime. No more time pass in the world of Maya, the material world. This very lifetime I want to practice bhakti and break the cycle of birth and death. This intense desire should be there in each one of us. And then we can see the miracle that Krishna will do by helping us in various ways. So here we complete chapter 5. Next video, let's see all the shlokas together, entire chapter at one glance. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.